For example, in education area, you can't speak about Christ. You can't talk about it. You can't express your views. You can't write essays or papers about religion, Christ, you know, about your beliefs. I read another day in the some eastern part of country, in the school, a girl wrote about her idol being Jesus Christ. That was the assignment, and teacher did not accept it. She said, you can't write it, it's religion. And another guy dressed up as a Jesus on Halloween, a Jesus costume, and he was taken down and said, hey, you have to remove it, it's offensive. I mean, exactly. I mean, Christianity is offensive. That's why communists didn't like it. And we were forbidden in schools and place of work to preach about Christ. That was forbidden. Only in the walls of a church. And I see the same thing right now in America. Every time we have to preach and we want to preach, we have to fight legally through special firms like ACLJ or Freedom... what is another?
The Alliance Defending Freedom. Yeah,
Alliance Defending Freedom. We have to hire those lawyers to explain to those guys that there are laws that we can use and preach, but, you know, I mean, people just don't abide by the laws. They just press their own agenda and prosecute, you know, Christians.
You know, in America, one of the things that stands out the most to me, and just in the last 20 years, is the gradual breakdown of the family. And we see this all over the place. It's not just, you know, in the secular culture, but also in the Christian church. It's taken a terrible toll on us as a country, but it's been really an epidemic. What do you think is behind that? And what do you think, how do you think that this agenda plays into it?
Well, first of all, I would say, if speaking about Christian community and divorce rate being the same as in the world today, I would put a blame, first of all, on the Christians themselves. It's a lack of respect for the Word of God, for clear directives of the Word of God regarding the marriage. And that's the first, I mean, place where I put a blame. But the second place, I think, and very important one, is the culture in general, society, and especially entertainment industry, Hollywood, movies, shows, soap operas, they all promote unfaithfulness, infidelity, fornication, and to such a degree that it's presented as a better way to go than to stay faithful to your spouse or husband. Every time you see a show or a movie today and you see a family, it's always dysfunctional. Always dysfunctional, wife and husband always fighting, but they have affairs on the side where everything is fine. That's propaganda, and unfortunately, you know, Christians just eating this junk without, you know, any separation, any judgment, you know, and looking at it and letting their kids to see it, and basically bringing themselves up in this type of culture. And then you add lack of reading of a Bible, lack of prayer, devotion, and you have a problem right there.
You have a huge problem.
Yes, enormous.
It is interesting, too, that as husbands and wives, sometimes we leave out the third part of that covenant, God,
mm-hmm.
which is a very important part of that covenant for family.
Yep, yeah.
And I think that there are so many Christians today who are willing on Sundays in church to loudly proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, but are afraid to at work, are afraid to in public. And that's similar to the Soviet Union, don't you
think? Yes, yes, exactly, exactly. And the problem is the same, absolutely the same. The issue is the same as in the Soviet Union. That's what kind of bothers me really bad, because, you know, legally in the Soviet Union, we had a freedom of religion, constitutionally. We had a freedom of religion. Yeah. But why it was prohibited in the schools and everywhere? Because it was offensive. That's the word. It was offensive to atheists, to communists, to say, to hear that he is a godless man, that he is going to hell, that he is a sinner. It was very offensive. That's why they didn't want to hear it and clamped on that everywhere. And just say, hey, say this in your church, in your walls, and don't bring it out. And same thing happened in America. It's free. It's legally free. We can do it. But all these people around us, our bosses, our co-workers, teachers, principals, they say, well, it's offensive. Well, that's the part of being free. I mean, you can offend somebody, but be ready to be offended also. That's the freedom.
Well, I think it's also what it meant in Scripture when Paul mentions contend for the faith. Yeah. I mean, it's sometimes there's going to be offense, but it's working through that in love and preaching the truth in love. And for the listeners out there, that is a key point. I want to really hone in on this, a critical point. The left is using the same language as that of Joseph Stalin, as that of all of those people in communist Russia.
Exactly. Absolutely the same.
Well, this is Matt Shea on Battlefront with Pastor Alex Skrobko, Senior Pastor of Valley Harvest Church in Spokane Valley, Washington, talking about Election Day a little bit today, but also kind of the parallels between the former Soviet Union and where America is headed today. One of the things that I've heard from a lot of people in the Slavic community who are used to the Soviet system is voting doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. My vote won't count. It doesn't matter. But it actually does here in the United States. How many people are there in the Slavic community, and what are your thoughts on this?
I don't know exactly. I've heard different numbers. Some say 10,000, some say 40,000, but it's a lot. I mean, when I came to America in 93, I was really amazed when I heard Russian speech in the store. We just went to each other and hugged, seeing each other for the first time. Today, if I hear Russian speech, it's like hearing American speech everywhere, you know, in the stores and in schools everywhere. So a lot of Russians here. And I mean, not just Russians, Slavic people from a former Soviet Union.
Yeah. So what would you tell them on the radio today about voting? Why do you think voting matters in America compared to the former Soviet Union?
Yeah, that's a mentality. The big problem with the mentality of a Slavic people that came from the Soviet Union is that they view all the governments through the lens of a government they lived with in the Soviet Union, where it was the one-party system and voting really did not matter. Absolutely did not. Communists themselves even didn't vote because it was useless. It was like everybody was appointed and all this voting charade was just for the show, only in the big cities for maybe foreign journalists or something. In the smaller cities where I lived, we didn't even know when the voting day was. So voting didn't matter. So Russian people, from the Soviet Union, they view American government the same way. They think, well, it's the same way like it was in Russia, but it's not really. The voting really does matter here in America. It does. And it's always promoted, and thankfully, by both sides, liberal and conservatives. That's still it's a good sign for America. There's a chance to change it because everybody's talking about voting, importance of voting. You can hear reminders from government officials on the radio about importance of voting. You can hear about churches about it everywhere, and it does matter. We can see the vote counts from different races where like 120, 100 votes matter in the governor race. You know, in the state of Washington a few years ago. I've heard about it, like 120 votes decided the race between Gregory and Rossi, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, it does matter.
Absolutely does. You know, in the state house races, the last election cycle, there were five state house races. Okay, we are in the minority by 6 votes. 5 state house races were decided by 6,000 votes total between them all.
Wow. Yeah.
That's the amount of people we would need to show up to really turn the balance in the state of Washington. And with the Slavic community, there's enough people in the community to turn that balance and decide elections.
Yeah. Yes, that's true.
So why do you think, as a pastor, what would be your message to pastor that politics in that regard do matter as Christians? What would be your message to pastors and other Christians?
My message would be simple. Vote. Raise your voice. What does it mean to vote? A lot of people think, Slavic people think that participation in voting is like joining the government, joining politics. It's not. It is not. It's not required to be a certain party member to vote. If you're a citizen, you can vote. It's basically you expressing your view with your vote. And you should do it. A lot of godly people in the Bible voted. We can start back in the Old Testament with Mordecai. When he heard about the problem that his nation was facing, his people were facing, he went into the square and he wept publicly, put a sackcloth and ashes to the point that Queen his cousin, Queen Esther, heard about it, and she was worried what happened. That was his vote. What did she do? He told her, you need to go and vote. That's what he told her. If you read the story of Esther, she prayed for 3 days, and then she went to the king. It was a death sentence to go to the king without being called. And she went anyway. Why? She went to vote for her people. You see in the New Testament, you see this guy in Sanhedrin when they called apostles Peter and John for questioning and threatening them with the punishment for preaching the gospel. This guy Gamaliel stood up and said, hey, we have a law. We cannot punish them until we hear them at least. What they have to say. What was that? It was a vote by the godly person. We hear about repentance of Saul. As we know, Apostle Paul, he was Saul, his first name before repentance. Everybody was scared to talk to him in Christian community. Nobody wanted to talk to him, even knowing that he repented. Nobody could believe that it happened. Everybody was shying, and Barnabas took him up by hand and brought to the apostles and the pastors of the Jerusalem church to present him and say a word on behalf of the Saul. What was that? It was voting for the soul.
Yeah, it was. In the last minute, if you could give the listeners a little bit more information on Valley Harvest Church, you know, a place they can go on the internet to look at it, any final closing thoughts in the last minute.
Valley Harvest Church is a new church. We started about a year and a half ago with the idea of combining Russian and English language in the services. We have two services, English service at 12:30 and Russian service at 2 o'clock. And we invite everybody. We decided to kind of split in from traditional Russian church to preserve, first of all, our kids who speak English better now, understand it better, so they would not be lost in this world. And to give ourselves a chance to work not only among the Russian community, but also in the American community. So that's the idea of our church. And we're located on the between Argonne and Mulan on the Boon. It's a New Hope Christian Center. We're in place over there, and our website is vhspokane.com. That's vhspokane.com.
vhspokane.com. Alex, I really appreciate your testimony. Thank you for joining me on Battlefront. We'll have you on again.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
Well, remember, as you're listening to this, to not only pray for a revival of repentance, but today is Election Day. Vote as strongly as we speak in church on Sunday. The temple of the Holy Spirit, the body of the believer, is the government of the United States of America, presupposes two things. One, we're believers, and two, we show up so the Holy Spirit can work through us. And one of the ways the Holy Spirit can work through us is through voting. The truth compels us to act. And with so many candidates out there that are pro-choice, we have to support the ones that are pro-life. Visit Freedom Agenda Washington on Facebook. This is Matt Shea. Remember to do everything you can to defend freedom locally. May God bless all of you, and may He make this generation the greatest one. Paid for by the Committee to Elect Matt Shea Republican.
American Christian Network affiliates are KSPO, Dishman, Spokane, Coeur d'Alene, KTBI, Afraid of Moses Lake, Wenatchee, KGDN, Pasco, Richland, Kennewick,
plus KTAC, Afraid of Moses Lake, and KYAK, Yakima.
This is Matt Shea with your daily news commentary, the way I see it. Well, I have my ballot recommendations for key races and ballot measures online at Freedom Agenda Washington. I-517, vote no. I'm a huge supporter of the initiative and referendum process, being on the board of several over the years. However, this initiative forces small business owners against their will to allow signature gatherers on their own private property. That's not freedom. I-522, vote no. I support the labeling of genetically modified foods. It's important to know what we're putting in our body. However, this initiative lays the groundwork for an international body, the ominous-sounding Codex Alimentarius Commission, to regulate in Washington potentially all food. This means they can pass rules without any check by the Washington legislature. I don't want an international body controlling this state in any way. Vote no on I-517 and I-522, at least. That's the way I see it. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for listening. Paid for by the Community Elect Matt Shea Republican.
AC and affiliates are KTBI and KTAC, Freda, Moses Lake, Wenatchee, KYAK, Yakima, KGDN, Pasco, Richland, Kennewick, KSPO, Dishman, Spokane.
Hello, friends. This is Pastor Ed Pace, and I am running for Spokane Valley City Council Position 4. We are in the home stretch. Ballots are out. Please remind your friends and neighbors to vote. Ask them to vote for Ed Pace for Spokane Valley.